Welcome back, new you maniacs, to the Spinner Rack here at Season 4 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts,
Andy with Psyforce 21 and
Steven with periodic German accents. 1986, the new universe was launched as an imprint for Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics and world building. The original idea was the world outside your window, with real-time progress and greater realism. After the first year, some books were canceled, although we are seeing their characters in other places, and the remaining books have gotten consistent creative teams, their origins streamlined, and they are becoming more action-oriented in the wake of the world-shaking disaster, The Pit. With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each comic in the order they hit the spinner rack, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. We have a Season 4 trivia challenge, probably now available on our website, which you can use to test your knowledge of the previous season's events, characters, exciting something.
Test your knowledge of things.
Nouns, not verbs, nouns. We have our Twitter account, X account, at Kickers Inc., where you can be updated on our upcoming shows. And this week we are back to Psyforce. A group of psychic teenage paranormal runaways bound together by a psychic entity called the Psyhawk, now split up and on the run from both sides of the Cold War. Can they elude the draft by hiding in Canada? This sounds like 20 years out of date when you put it that way, but...
Very 60s, yes.
Down.
Musical interlude, I like that. That's new. So, this week in Psyforce 21, the CIA has sent Spitfire, as in the Max Armor, to Canada to capture Wayne and Tyrone. Wayne's got a plan to escape the armored assassin, but it means turning his back on the people who've been helping him. Spitfire, Teeth and Blood, written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Ron Lim, inked by Mike Witherby.
And we'll also be discussing some of the bonus features we got this month, some official handbook pages and a letters column and a new universe column.
Yeah, so a bunch of extras.
You know, maybe Spitfire would have done well if they'd have, like, the Armored Assassin was, like, her code name, you know what I mean? Like the... God of Thunder. I don't know. The Armored Assassin. Ooh. Coming at you.
Well, it's definitely a lot more deadly sounding than the original intent of the whole thing, but yeah, maybe.
Man amplified construction suit.
It's just supposed to make caves and tunnels safely. It's all, geez. Come on, guys.
No, that buzzsaw was for doing... carpentry. I don't know why you keep taking people's heads off with it.
Yeah, the brave new world. It's a different new universe. It is in fact the new universe. So but yeah, Psyforce 21, cover July, so July 1988, though it should have come out March 29th, 1988. And yeah, this is kind of picking up directly after issue 20. Our cover has the Max version 2 armor of magical shape-changing ability, bright red on the cover. And it's got that kind of classic, our Wayne, Tyrone, and Lindsay are on, like, in target circles, like, so
right.
Hunted by Spitfire. And the Max armor is kind of facing us with its fist out, launching rockets. So, yeah, we have come a long way since the Max armor was designed specifically not for killing.
I don't know. I want to say the Silver Samurai, something like that. it's kind of the what it's looking like now. I don't know.
Yeah, it's got kind of like a bullet-shaped head nowadays in Max 2. And the face shield is kind of open to interpretation. Like, occasionally, like, clearly it's not like a screen or like a transformer kind of face that like moves, you know, like its mouth or eyes and this gives it expressions. But sometimes we still kind of see expressions in the eyes. So it's part of its magical shape changing ability, I guess.
Polymimetic alloys. Yes.
Yeah.
Something.
But yeah, so yeah, this does pick up pretty directly from the last issue. Last issue was just dealing with two-fifths of Psi-Force that's hanging out in Canada. So Wayne and Tyrone had escaped from Rod Stavow exploding the clinic, and they eventually kind of made their way up to Canada to try and find a safe zone from Medusa Web. Last issue, they found out that the rest of their friends are all captured, you know, so two in a hospital and one just officially drafted, I guess. They were kind of trying to decide, oh, what do we do? Do we go and rescue them? And then kind of decided, no, we're not going to go rescue them. And the Medusa Web, or at least a part of them, because they were also split. There's kind of a group chasing Wayne and Tyrone, and a group that like literally attacked Stassi and Thomas and the rest. They've been kind of spying on Wayne and trying to recruit them. There's also a backup Spitfire in the last Psi-Force issue where they showed the government recovering the armor. And I think, was it in that one that they implied that they also captured Jenny, right?
Like, yeah, so that, I forget, the date was like in mid-January, late January.
Yeah.
And they had, they said that she had been captured after the armor ran out or something. And so they'd gotten it, repaired it, and they given it to
Jake Travis.
What?
Yeah. But yeah, so like everything is all kind of working together, because we saw actually what happened to Jenny in DP7, and it seemed like maybe she was captured, though we didn't see that quite literally. Then we kind of heard it. And yeah, so Jake Travis was this sort of random CIA operative who had split personalities. So like there was the nice guy version, and then the angry, more aggressive, but not really that different slash Hannigan.
It was like trying to put the Danny Glover and Mel Gibson characters from Lethal Weapon into one person somehow.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so then he was kind of like, I don't care about anything. He was sent to go after these guys. And so a lot of recap, I suppose, but it all kind of is coming together to this point, I suppose.
Yeah, we had the timeline of what happened to Jenny and the armor both sort of adds up. So we've got that she just like left the armor when it wasn't working anymore at the end of the DP720. So that's probably the last time she saw it. Yeah.
Right. Ran out of juice. All right. So picking up this comic. In fact, a lot about kind of what happens in the story in their solicitation is kind of a little bit wrong, as it turns out, but only kind of subtly wrong. We're still being attacked by the Max armor, the Spitfire. Yes, exact same creative team as last time. Nizieza, Lim, and Witherby as inking. And we pick up on Monday, February 29th, so Leap Day.
This is the same day as the Starbrand 13, I want to say.
Okay. Nobody could resist setting it on Leap Day, probably.
It's the specialist day of the year.
But yeah, so, you know, we pick up Wayne and Lindsay are in sort of like a fancy hotel. Wayne's in the bathroom working on his fancy hair, which becomes important later, perhaps. He's like, drying my hair. You think it's easy getting it to look like this? And she replies, I thought you'd licked your finger and stuck it in a socket. but it's a rainy day, so it's British Columbia, Pacific Northwest kind of zone. I guess that kind of makes sense. She's like, it's miserable day out, much more suitable for indoor activity, if you know what I mean. He's like, what? And he's like, oh, after 2 months, I'm beginning to wonder if you do. Where's Tyrone anyway?
A lot going on behind the scenes at Cyforce that I didn't
do. Right? Or not a lot, and frustrating our poor Lindsay.
Hard to believe, but okay.
So she had been kind of looking out the window during this conversation, and then it turns back, and as she turns, we see the Max version 2 like flying into the screen, or I guess, you know, flying into view of the window. She kind of turns, is like, did you hear something? Sound like it's right outside. And she looks out the window, she's like, Wayne. And we turn the page and we get this massive 2-page spread, which is basically the cover.
Pretty much, yeah. It's,
yeah,
it's
of the Spitfire suit with its fist out. You get the title, Spitfire, comma, Teeth and Blood. And the teeth is like little blocky squares to kind of look like teeth.
Oh yeah.
Right. And then, like, blood is written in like blood drippy font, you know, kind of like old eerie comic horror movie kind of something or other. Yeah, I think it was, I didn't think to look it up. It's like, is this a reference to something?
It felt like a line from something that I couldn't place my finger on, and Googling didn't get me anywhere with it. So,
yeah. Anyway, the suit is ready to go, saying Tyrone Jessup and Wayne Tucker, surrender yourselves immediately. And we get kind of like scanning information from the computer inside the suit, like voice print scan activated, scanning systems online kind of stuff, which continues throughout the book. But yeah, Wayne gets out of the bathroom. They're looking down at this thing. It's like, it's a big red robot, and he wants to talk to you, Wayne. It's like, don't look at me like that. I never met the stupid thing. So yeah, it's down on the ground.
It's looking... like that sort of contrivance that, like, if you're, you know, if you have some sort of special power or something, it's like not robot related at all. If a robot shows up, people will just turn to you like this is your fault, right?
Well, it is saying his name.
Okay.
So they're kind of like up on maybe like the fifth or sixth floor, kind of way up above. It's down on the ground, kind of looking up at them, you know, saying surrender immediately. We get kind of an interesting panel of like a scanning device, you know. Target scan, Tucker, Wayne, weapon system sweep, locked on target. And so, you know, the armor is down there, presumably with Travis in it. It's like, you have 10 seconds to surrender yourself. So it's doing the ED-209 RoboCop countdown, like 9, 8. They just book it out of there. So they run out of the room. Instead of waiting for the elevator, start running down the stairs. And the Max suit only gets to counting down to about 6 before he just says, screw this, and fires a missile into a Canadian hotel.
Dinger ground to air missile. Oh my
god.
Wayne is also in a bathrobe. He's not dressed at all. This is...
yeah, good mention. We get a little bit of a sign for the hotel. I don't know if it's a real one. They showed like
I did find
clips.
Yeah, Empress Hotel is pretty nice looking.
Yeah.
At least until the bay or the harbor, whatever you want to call it.
At least until they blew a hole in it, which is like an international war crime, probably. Yeah, so he's like,
CIA, what are they going to...
I guess. He blasts their hotel room, but the kids are free and clear, kind of like stumbling down the stairs. Like, what the heck was that? They run out into the lobby where there's a ton of people, including presumably the hotel owners. Like, Tucker, that tank thing called your name. Wayne clears, basically uses his powers, like, forget us, help the people out. And Lindsay's kind of there just following his lead, thinking like the crazier things get, the cooler he becomes. It's like he's used to being hunted and chased and tried to be killed, and he's gotten good at it apparently. This is like, okay, we got to get some clothes. They kind of run out with the crowd out to the front of the building, which I assume the Max armor was kind of in the back end, but I'm not 100% sure how all that works. He stops a car with his powers and then kind of uses it like a taxi. He's like, take us to Market Square, please. Lindsay's, interestingly enough, says out loud, you know, I knew I'd get you some new clothes one way or another. And then thinks to herself, I can't believe I'm getting shot at by talking red robots and I'm cracking jokes.
Well, they're not good jokes, if that helps you, how you feel.
They are not. she was trying to get him to like spend money, like her family's rich and she's got all these credit cards kind of stuff. And he was not complying last time. But yeah, so the Max armor, you know, comes around to somewhere. I'm not really sure where it is, to be perfectly honest. They didn't do a good job of setting the scene here. And it says voice print search activated, scanning inconclusive, thrusters activated, and it's going down like it's going to land. There's a bunch of police or guards. I don't know if the Empress Hotel has a bunch of armed guards, maybe.
I want to say it's taking off because it had sort of landed in the parking lot or something, fired the missile, and now these guys have come around and start shooting at it. So yeah. It takes off and goes up because it goes like to the roof.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. The background panel is just like colory rain swooshes. Yeah. So that makes it kind of hard to ground it. But yeah, their revolver bullets just bounce off. So it's totally impervious to small arms. And then he flies somewhere, like the top of the hotel, maybe is the best I could guess. Yeah. And when the suit lands, presumably on the roof, then the floor gives out and we get like a cartoony panel of it like falling like boom 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 through like multiple floors, which I don't know, I had kind of trouble understanding that because then he's also immediately outside.
Yeah, I don't know if like he bounces out outside in the last floor or two, but that's kind of how it looked read to me, as he lands on the roof. It doesn't hold him. He goes down at least a few floors and ends up back outside next to these cops who were shooting at him a second ago.
Yeah.
And there's a one of these tech readouts is operational weight of Max armor exceeded weakened structural capacity by 75,000 kilograms, which is an order of magnitude off of what we were told the Max armor weighs. So, you know, bit of a math error there. But anyway,
yeah, but and maybe save it for the end, but the omniscient computer is a little iffy, I think. like that seems like an order of magnitude jump in technology if you have this thing that can just automatically compute the structural integrity of a damaged hotel building. Like,
yeah, that's a good point too. The whole and then like its voice activation or something. It gets us back to that, like, you know, Jenny's father program that we wanted to have in the Max armor. That
right, like if it was in there screwing up, like I'm not letting you use the missiles.
Yeah. Why don't you go land on the roof? Oops. what a shame.
Well, see, that would have been fantastic. It just makes me feel sad that we don't have that. but ineffective Canadian policeman tries to put the suit under arrest. He's like, you're under arrest. And then Travis, aka / Hannigan, aka CIA psychopath, is like, haha, you have 5 seconds to clear the area, and then it just blasts off, like burning everyone underneath him with the thruster flames. So yeah, this guy's really they kind of set him up to be a pretty normal guy, at least initially in the actual Spitfire series, until he kind of flipped the switch and then he'd get kind of aggressive. But here he's very aggressive, is like really like kind of a super sociopath. compared to what we were used to. At least that was my read of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, the suit goes, flies off, kind of finds some high ground and just starts scanning with its magical scanning abilities. We cut back to Market Square, I guess. I've never been to BC. Where
an
Wayne
actual mall, yeah.
Yeah, Wayne gets out of his commandeered vehicle, you know, tells the driver to forget us, forget you ever saw us, forget you ever did this. And then they run out into a mall in which he doesn't use his powers to push the store manager there, who's kind of skeptical. Because, you know, even before he even really gets a chance to grab clothes, he grabs like one thing, and then bullets start flying through the window. It's like, oh god, it's not again. And the Max armor crashes through. I still kind of refuse to call it Spitfire because I still think that's confusing from Jenny. But the big red violent Max armor crashes through the window. It says, Tucker, you are under arrest. Don't jerk me around anymore. Give up. I won't hurt you too much. Lindsay's like, Wayne, all these people. He's like, oh, and Wayne's thinking, oh god, no, how else? I can't, I have to, I'm sorry. Oh my god, everyone just jump and attack the robot. So he mind pushes all of the customers to pile on the robot, thinking it would kind of distract him for a minute, or, you know, allow him to escape. Maybe underestimating the crazy pants guy who's the pilot, who just says, dumb move, you know, kind of sweeps half of them away with his arm violently and then shoots the other half of these plain old Canadian citizens.
Yeah, like shooting and throwing them or something.
Yeah, so like definitely killing a bunch of them, I think, is pretty clear. Which of course freaks out Wayne again in the rain in his bathrobe, still with a cast on his hand, and he's like, oh god, it shot them, what have I done? And Travis in the suit responds, made me waste ammo is what you've done. Lindsay tries to kind of smack it from behind, but you know, she just has viewing the past powers, so she's not, it just kind of smacks her, knocks her out of the way. It's like, where's Jessup? Now, or I turn her into flesh spaghetti. Okay. So it's grab Wayne at this point, kind of like around the head and neck. So he's got him captured, and he says, he'll be back later. He's like, at 5 or 6, I swear. And he's like, better pray instead. And it's not after Lindsay, because, you know, he was just sent after the Psi-Force kids, so he doesn't know really who she is or care. So it just kind of leaves her behind. Wayne tells her to run. But yeah, it's basically the suits grabbed Wayne and just blasts off into the air with him. So, you know, leaving Lindsay to kind of tumble around.
Yeah, again with these thruster blasts that splashed the cops a couple pages back, she just sort of barely rolls out of the burn zone. It looks like she got slightly singed, but, you know, not hurt, so
yeah,
I think
probably, or just hurt but not injured, I suppose,
right.
But yeah, she kind of like tumbles, and when it comes to a stop, and there's a nice little panel with like a shoe, like a nice little dress shoe. She's like, huh? And he looks up, and it's Backfire from Medusa Web.
What?
So this was a guy who was, you know, real talkative. Last issue, he was like terrified of Tyrone in kind of like a goofy way, which felt a little off. He's like tall guy, long black hair, glasses, a little chubby, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, he always feels like he's meant to be more like a comic relief than an action guy. So, but yeah, he's not like, whatchamacallit, very imposing, but
yeah,
you know.
He's just kind of standing there in a green suit and an umbrella. It's like, just the way I like him, burning for me and rolling on the floor. She says, Backfire. And then another guy comes in.
Backfire, if you please, help imprint. Are you hurt me, Falman?
Just cut right in, Thundy.
Thunderhead, you call yourself, oh. Right? You're all from the Medusa web. I'm okay, I guess.
Thunderhead. Thunderhead is the only one in this one with an accent, I guess. So,
I'm assuming you don't want the Canadians.
Right. I do. You can cover all Canadians. So the little branch of the Medusa web, Thunderhead, Backfire, and Imprint are here. He's like, alive but still stupid. It's like, screw it, she's a kid, I'm a professional. It's like, you're so good, Georgie, it's scary. And presumably Georgie is the Backfire's real name, which I totally don't remember.
It's like George McFeeters was a name he gave like cops when he was stopped before, and I wasn't 100% sure if that was real, but yeah. George does seem right.
So he picks up something red, and you know, basically they put Lindsay in the back of the van. Imprint's there driving. He's the one that has kind of vague and difficult to understand communication powers. Like, he can see things and then record them. It's my best guess at this point. Also, yeah, maybe some kind of mind transferring stuff
goes on to videotape. Yeah, something. Yeah. He is also not an albino this time.
He's got white hair, but you know, he's not colored albino like he had been. So I'm just not sure if they just don't know what to do with him, or he's just officially not albino. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they pop her in the van.
Where are you taking me?
Over the Johnston Bridge to Victoria Park West. We will need some time to imprint to disseminate the information he has recorded. Please try to relax. We will have to help Tucker if we can. Coffee? Okay. We're just amusing ourselves.
The monotone ending with coffee is great. It's like, we totally won't kill you, coffee. And then, so Backfire and Imprint are there. He says, sensor glove, nice and warm, Whitey. He's like, yeah, electric tingles at the fingertips, eh? It's like, sensor glove? Do you know what's going on there? I couldn't quite figure that one out.
Because he's wearing the glove in the next panel? I don't know. Because I originally thought he was, like, taking it off because it, like, to get his video recording out, he had to touch the computer or something. But let's let Thunderhead explain it. Imprint is a fucking video recorder. What he saw and heard, he can turn into electronic signals, including the incident with the mechanical construct. Now we will cross-reference with our computer to see if we can match a file memory with the on-screen image.
So okay. He's like, yeah, sure, bingo. So they get a computer readout of man amplified experimental suit, codename Spitfire, current status field operative, project Spitfire, Central Intelligence Agency, current operative Jacob Travist.
Was it Project Spitfire as well as codename Spitfire?
You gotta cover all bases. He's like,
why is everything called Spitfire?
So, like, Lindsay kind of like surprised, you know, throws her coffee backwards on Backfire. shouldn't it have backfired? Maybe he has to activate his powers. She's like, wait a minute, there's a man inside that thing?
Yeah, vote on CIA. So
what? I was like, he knows as much about you kids as we do, which is everything. She's like, well, it's like this, doll. Since they hired us at first for quite a sum per man, I might add, we turned all the info we had on you to them, which means all of Imprint's video and audio tapes. But Wayne said he thought you guys were watching them for months. He says, no, that means since
early July. All
right. Well, I love the German. So that means this thing knows too much about Wayne and Ty. That being said, Travis slash Hannigan doesn't really seem to know that much about him. Maybe he didn't bother to read the file. Like, he's not particularly careful, I think. We cut to him in a park holding Wayne upside down by his legs. You know, so it's just kind of like, you know, cartoonish almost. Wayne, again, is mostly naked because he just has a bathrobe and underpants. And he does talk about what he knows about him, but mostly his life and background. He's like, your old man beat you when he was a kid. When he was a kid? When you were a kid? Didn't he? Got drunk, came home, hit you again and again. Mom gets eaten up by cancer when you're four. Father's a bum. Must have been torture. And Wayne's like, shut up. And it looks like he's kind of like banging his head on the ground. It's like, sure, punk. We'll just wait like this till Jessup comes around. He's like, it won't be back for another 4 hours. And he's like, so what? I can go to the bathroom in the suit. I'll be fine. He's like, in that, you're inside that thing? He's like, what did you think I was? A robot, idiot? He's like, yeah. So Wayne takes a shot at his powers and says, put me down right now, trying just to give him a mind blast. And it kind of works. So the suit kind of, the max armor kind of falls back, but doesn't quite get the job done. So he ends up kind of stunning him, but instead just kind of holding on a little bit tighter and kind of hurting his leg. And Travis responds, he's like, pretty interesting. Powers don't work on me. One of two reasons, either my cybernetic link screws up your neurological override, or the fact that since I'm a diagnosed schizophrenic, you can't lock onto me. And it's kind of like tips his head back and laughs.
So if you went over it, Wayne says, you know, Tyrone won't be back for another 4 hours. And Jake says, so what? I can go to the bathroom in this suit. I'll be fine. that's one of the things I didn't know about the suit that I didn't really want to know.
Well, it's kind of recycled.
Explain a bit of like Jenny's flying around the pit for a day or two.
I guess, yeah. Somebody has to empty that thing though then, right?
Yeah, that's when I realized how that works, that like that's when I lost the interest in the astronaut program. You have to what? In this what? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that does sound a bit unpleasant. Well, we cut back to the squad in the van. So they're looking at his file, like, and which is basically like a list of people that he killed, all sort of Arabic sounding names, and you know, 85, 82 kind of stuff.
You've got Iranians in Libyans, and those were, you know, hot spots in those years, 85 and 82.
Right. Yeah. Featured occasionally in Starbrand.
So, yeah.
We got one more.
It's weird to think of Libya as such a thing now, but yeah, for a while there, that was quite quite active.
So. Yeah. Well, not so much in our news cycles anymore, though. A couple more Thunder headlines.
Oh, sorry, yeah. This man has been nothing more than a killing machine.
Now one for real. Of course, you know, backfire as his kind of lame jokes throughout.
This man is trouble, Lindsay. We must be very careful or Van will be killed.
She says, what do you suggest, that we do nothing? Like, I'm not going to lose him. Do you hear me? I've lost everyone I've ever cared for in my life. I won't lose him.
No, we want him also alive also. When is Tyrone returning?
Everybody's just waiting for Tyrone to show up. I wonder if that's going to happen. So yeah, they sort of argue a little bit. Backfire pulls that little red piece out of his pocket. Presumably, it's like a shell casing from the max armor firing. He's like, well, if we got to find him now, and he's like, afraid you feel that way, fine, let's do it then. And he tosses her that, which then allows her to look back into Travis's past, I guess, or future, or a little bit of both, apparently.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so she's like, a shell casing from the bullet Spitfire shot at us. He's like, strong, dirty. He loved her, he did, but she wasn't good enough. So we get kind of like flashes of Hannigan, or Jake Travis, I guess. They don't really mention the slash Hannigan persona. So we see Jenny. She's like, she built the Spitfire suit. Wasn't good enough for the job. Didn't have what it took. There's a panel of like someone punching someone, which I don't quite get.
I couldn't decide if that was like the when she was like being tested and there was some weirdo that they locked her in a room with.
Yeah,
or there was also like Hannigan had like memories of like the bad persona beating someone to a pulp for no reason.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Right, so it shows Edmund Roth didn't think Jenny was good enough. He's like me, couldn't cut it like me. I can cut it. I can do it all. So is this memories of the suit, maybe? And so including her and him, perhaps? I don't know. Because it shows the pit crater. She wasn't tough enough to handle the stink, the death. I can handle it. Eddie knows that, as in Edmund Roth. We got the suit back. I got it because Eddie knows. Knows I could handle it. He knows I can deal in the stink of the dead. Because, yeah, then it shows a park, which presumably is kind of where he is now. So maybe that is her reaching into the past and into the future. So, again, yeah. Her powers are a little confusing, but...
She said something before about, like... that she would be able to find the other members of Psi-Force. Like she has a lock on them now because she had touched something from one of them.
Right.
So you get the past of people and maybe their current, what they're doing or something. Yeah. It's a little more ambiguous than that, like DP7 thing where you would just like see through someone's eyes or something. So
right. That's a little easier to explain, at least.
I want to say on the that flashback, I think it's kind of going back and forth between one thing of like him beating someone to death, basically.
Yeah.
But like it changes the colors, but it would kind of make sense if that there's like a fight and he knocks the guy's glasses off and then he's like totally just blood on the wall is like
an okay.
extended thing.
Yeah, you picked up on that better than I did, I guess.
5 times I've read this and it meant nothing to me. Okay.
Right. So they figure out, you know, it's in a park somewhere, you know, so they're going to go and start looking. We cut back to the suit with Wayne, who's just kind of like torturing him still. You know, so it's holding him up by his feet and starts using like a hand laser to like singe off the top of his hair. He's like, chop some of that sissy hair off. Tell me about your old man. He make you cut your little girly hair. And he's just being awful and weird.
What are you doing, man?
Right?
It's like, he's, yeah, I've seen some strange, like, whatever, prisoner abuse, but this is bizarre.
It is really strange. Clearly, oh, crap. What's the guy who blew up the helicopter? The other
McIntyre?
Yeah.
Colonel Mac Browning.
Mac Browning, yeah. Clearly he was right in that little backup of like, you're putting this crazy person in this suit. So
yeah, you can see Travis is like, he'll do the job, but like the part where he has to sit there for 4 to 6 hours waiting for something to happen is like, who knows what he's going to do in that time frame.
Yeah. Clearly not designed to be running missions in the United States or Canada. but yeah, so, you know, Wayne's just kind of stuck, right? He can't really do anything, but he starts to try and like send out a mental signal to Lindsay, you know, just like panic, like Lindsay. but all of a sudden, he does get rescued, so a sonic blast comes in from sort of off panel, knocking the Mac's armor over. you know, leaving Wayne kind of like clutching his ears in pain. It's like, ears are bleeding. It's got to be him.
Wayne, are you all right?
It is kind of weird to have the Thunderhead being so nice, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean, helpful.
I mean, they don't sort of overdo it, but I mean, you get this, like, certainly compared to the psychopath, they're like, before, these guys were just kind of doing a job and they weren't, you know, jerks about it.
Yeah.
They weren't like super nice, but, and now, yeah, it's like, to the rescue, it's a morally ambiguous guy and his friends. Yeah.
Right. the rest of the Medusa Web squad and Lindsay in matching jackets kind of come to the rescue. They put some ear protection on Wayne. It's like, mechanically created sonic bursts do not
I'm sorry, my mechanically created sonic bursts do not discriminate very well.
But the Max Armor opens fire. Everybody kind of dodges out of the way except for Backfire, who's, again, power that I'm not super comfortable with at this point. It's hard to tell if they get deflected or if they just miss. They don't seem to fire back at him, not like vice versa or something, but he just stands there and says, don't work, R. He's like, chickens. He's like, don't work, R2, as in the robot from Star Wars. You try hurting me, it backfires, eh? Let's see how that works the other way around.
So then, yeah, there's like a panel of surprise or something from the Max Armor. And I mean, it.
Yeah, he's kind of doing that like Metal Gear Guard, like, what? What happened?
Maybe that's it. Because it was like, it, you know, the bullets didn't, yeah, bounce back at him. So I wasn't quite, it's like he had demonstrated nothing that I could see here. So I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't quite come through on the art, at least. But it's something that seemed to have at least stunned him a little bit. Lindsay comes off with, like, let's try to verbally terrorize this guy, maybe to distract him. She's like, hey, Travis, tell us about Jenny Swenson. You get off playing in her suit, you pervo. What did you say? So he freaks out even more. Like, what did you say about Jenny? And he starts firing missiles. Backfire's like, real smart strategy here, Thundy. Let's say we make fun of his mom next. She's like, hey, Travis, tell us about Nicaragua. Tell us about War Tiger. We get a codename Spitfire 11 mentioned. I don't remember that one. I forgot to look it up. Did you?
It was, I'm pretty sure, it was the Nicieza issue where Polosino was there. They were trying to get someone out of a Nicaraguan prison or something. And I think Travis got captured and was being tortured.
Okay.
Himself.
That does sound familiar. So Thunderhead kind of comes in with a blast that actually looks like it's starting to do a little damage. Like it's kind of hit the arm, knocked out the missile systems. And we get a, like, Wayne now, but it's not like a voice panel. So we're waiting for him to kind of step in, but he's running. So he's just running for it. He's like, run, man, this guy will kill me. And then, but he stops, reconsiders, and it's like, no more running. So he ends up coming back, giving one last try at the mental pushing with a really loud freeze, which again kind of stuns Travis in the armor. And Thunderhead's kind of standing up, getting ready to kind of, you know, give it one last blast, and says, bottom left, were able to override.
We were able to override the electrical field from his helmet and control his mind. Astonish. Astonish. I'm sorry, my ish has gone terrible. Astonish. But how?
Keeps getting worse.
Fix it in post. But how do we get him out of that armor before he recovers? Vasis.
So yeah, the armor sort of starts sizzling again. It's kind of raining, so it looks like there's like electricity crackles, and then the whole thing just kind of blows apart. Again, sizing issues are always a challenge for this thing, because like here we kind of get to see like he's about as big as the torso, The whole thing blasts into pieces like a toy, and Tyrone's not quite astral form appears. Like, look, like you folks could use a hand. So, like, after all that, he just blows it apart, like, no sweat, apparently. So Wayne's like, nice shot, Ty. Welcome back. Let's see if this guy takes as well as he gives. Now, finally, Travis is out of the armor. It looks like he's still got some gear strapped to him. So Wayne kind of grabs him and, kind of grabs him by the shirt and pulls him close. It's like, you work for the stinking CIA? Where are our friends? Talk or start digesting some teeth. Maybe that's the teeth part of the title. Travis is, don't think so, Cupcake. And he swings at him and he's got like a wrist blade thing. So a little like,
snicked.
Yeah.
Like,
Zavish. So he takes a swing, but Wayne dodges and like counter punches him, hits him pretty solid, and then uses his push powers. He's like, take the knife and close off, hand them to me. So he hands Wayne the little blade. He says, nice blade, spring lock release. Think I'll keep it. Where are our friends? I'm guessing that little blade thing's going to come in later or become part of his
Wolverine.
Wolverine. Well, he's got his hair's getting a little funky now too. So, so we already kind of know, and they already kind of know, but
basically what we told them last issue. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Boyd's drafted. He's in Georgia. Ling and in Yushin are recovering in Bethesda Naval Hospital in DC. Wayne gives him one last push. Says, now walk until you find a policeman, surrender yourself and tell them everything you did. Do not mention our names. Do you understand? And so now, underpants only, Jake Travis goes walking off into the rain. So it's our second rain walking off guy.
Oh, man. Remember, yeah.
Good old Ivan.
Perfect. Some enchanted evening.
Right.
So, yeah, Wayne took his clothes. Interesting. I didn't even notice that before. But
yeah. Well, he didn't have any, so I guess that's fair. So Lindsay grabs him. He's like, it's okay, really. You don't have to say anything. I'm sorry it took us so long to find you. I was so afraid of losing you. Tyrone's like, my fault, Wayne. I could have handled him easily now that I have godlike powers if I'd been around.
Just take it down a notch there, Tyrone. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
I added the godlike powers kind of thing.
Well, Backfire himself says, Ghost Boy is a regular Boy Scout of the gods. Huh?
Yeah.
Speaking of each, how did you?
So Tyrone says he felt Wayne's mind call, like you must have, which maybe that wasn't really explained. And tickled the magnetic field around the suit. Really did a number on it. We see kind of in the back, Lindsay grabs some more of the like pieces of the suit, or maybe some of the stuff that Travis was wearing. It's not really sure what she's doing with it.
I hope to God she is becoming the strong arms person.
I mean, the mechanics should be in there, I suppose, right?
I need to do
that would be funny.
Arms my own.
So they kind of end with talking about what are they going to do next. Will you come and work with the Medusa Web? And Wayne says, no thanks, we have a responsibility to our friends right now, and after that, who knows, it's about time we stopped hiding and started settling some of our debts.
Very well. We are not welcome across the border, but I am sure my employer would consent to providing you with some funds for your journey.
So, like, you saved the day and earned some money, like an RPG or something.
Your bank account is full. Awesome.
Yeah, so like, all right, so tell your boss that would make things between us okay. I guess he wasn't there when they were killing the others. But he's like, that means okay, cool, settled.
Copacetic then, and this tape is a recording of Travis' confession.
Looks like a plain old cassette tape, right?
Yeah, were they like recording him for a while? Because I don't know. Okay, sure, maybe.
Yeah, unclear. Last panel we get is Travis found the Mounties, I guess. It looks like Jenny Swenson's there too. Or just a
weird
another
yeah,
random redhead in a jumpsuit that totally looks like it should be Swenson.
Like Swenson and Roth also.
Yeah.
The white-haired guy there.
Yeah, but so he's standing there surrounded, like dripping wet. It's like, my name is Jacob Travis. I work for the Central Intelligence Agency. I was put in control of a man amplified experimental suit and sent after Americans whose names I can't mention. He's like, we informed him he doesn't need to talk until someone from the American consulate gets here. He's like, yeah, but he won't shut up. He's like, fully understanding that this was a flagrant violation of international borders. I was instructed to secure said unmentionable Americans, regardless of the welfare of Canadian citizens. And we don't get a the end or a next, but that is in fact the end. So,
yeah,
wrapping up the Canadian tour, I think.
Yeah, maybe we're finally out of British Columbia after this.
Yeah, next but we do get issue. A next issue and a peek at the cover, and it's got a scary looking night mask in it.
Yeah, it's a I don't think we can quite make out the one of the Psi-Force members in there's like an inset picture.
Yeah. So it's like he's holding a picture, it's like an army guy, Donald Trump in a pile of cash, like a weird faceless woman, a skull, kid, and a person standing there. And it's just, yeah, like a really strange family portrait.
I think, yeah, we've got, where does it say? Yeah, we've got, I'll tell you the letters to Psi-Force next issue, though.
Yeah, like, so it's next issue, the cover, over that away, should give you some hints. Thomas Boyd must undergo a psychiatric evaluation by Night Mask. But Keith Remsen has been having some problems since the Pittsburgh explosion. How can he evaluate Thomas's sanity when he isn't sure of his own? Find out in 30 days. Which has me slightly worried that they've changed the Keith Remsen character, but hopefully not. We'll see.
He's, yeah, I don't know. We haven't seen him since the pit, so who knows what's going on with that.
Yeah.
So that'll take us back to Boyd, I guess.
Yeah, which has been a couple issues. So he had finally kind of given up, and we'd heard that, you know, probably since he's so good at combat and all that stuff, you know, he's become a military asset, but perhaps not willingly so much, and
not sure, not
taking orders kind of guy anymore. So
we'll see how yeah. I mean, you can't just draft someone and be like expect them to, oh well, yes sir, yes sir, I'm happy to do this now. We'll see. Yeah, I imagine that's a lot of the draft, and afterwards is going to be the seeing who can integrate into a military force and who can't or won't.
Right.
So that's our next issue cover. And then we've got a few like official handbook of the Marvel Universe style profiles for the four continuing original members, Anastasia, Tyrone, Kathy, and Wayne. Did you learn anything interesting from these?
Almost nothing.
So we got their ages a little more. So I think most of them have turned 18, but Wayne's maybe now 20?
Yeah.
19 or 20?
Though there is the bit about Kathy Ling's abilities and talents. Kathy Ling is well coordinated. I like that part. And maybe there's a little tidbit of Tyrone, which kind of made clear that if his body dies, then he's dead. So like he can't, like the astral or the not so astral or whatever projection it is, doesn't exist without the body, kind of thing. So
yeah,
I think that was new-ish.
Yeah, I would say it makes sense. So okay,
makes comic book sense.
Let's see, Anastasia, aliases Stasi and Healer. They do throw in some of these code names that we've heard before but never used very consistently.
Yeah. Healer, Voyager, Shockwave, Network.
Yeah, the Stasi's family, which I kind of thought was it was kind of dubious that they were all killed through various, you know, things that happened in her past, or at least the KGB told her about. Here they say they're deceased, so
yeah,
they take it as given. And interestingly, the religions of each of the team members is given. Wayne, Catholic, non-practicing, although we saw him in a church just like two issues ago. Don't know what you're talking about there, buddy. Kathy, Buddhist, seems a little, I don't know, stereotype, as is Tyrone's Baptist.
Also non-practicing, though.
It's also, yeah, she's Valley Girl or whatever. Tyrone doesn't have a note on it. Stasi is Jewish, which is something I thought of when I saw like some jewelry she had ages ago. I thought it was maybe a character from that elf, whatever you call it, script.
No idea what you're talking about, but she also likes soccer.
Okay, all Europeans do. Actually, I don't know if that's popular in Russia at all.
Yeah,
the powers are pretty much what we've seen or imagined. Kathy's and Stasi's are very attractive. These are all pretty good, well done. I don't know.
Yeah.
The guys look reasonably fit and sort of good poses. So I don't think we got a credit for them, but you know, that's fine. The little like scene of them in action underneath the main one, those are a little iffy. I don't know.
The ones where they're like fighting against generic suit wearing guys.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, not their best moments or something. So moving on to the letters page, which is thankfully still letters to Psi-Force, as it was always meant to be. We have
so they do ask to send an official letter ideas.
Don't do it. We have a little story from Fabian Nicieza talking about the Medusa web and how foreign names were difficult for people to pronounce, and his editor asking him for a pronunciation guide.
Oh, well, you skipped the most important piece. It's like story spoilers. It says, this issue marks the last appearance of the mysterious Medusa web.
Oh, yeah.
At least for a little while. So, I mean,
it was a little
surprising.
It's going
to be an ongoing conflict kind of thing, but maybe not.
Yeah, to be honest, I was thinking we'd continue seeing these guys, even though they were like, well, we won't go with you this time. But I was like, I don't know. I mean, there's another half dozen of them floating around. So I just, maybe that team wasn't going to go. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we did pretty good on the pronunciations.
Yeah, Babel, Potiphar. They misspell Relampago.
Relampago.
But then they confirm that she's dead. So yeah, kind of a waste. Gato de sangue is shangue. Okay. Tuchich, Russian for obese. I could not find that, like, Googling in my, you know, without Cyrillic, and I got nothing out of it. Electric, I had called electronic every time she came up before, so thank you all for your forbearance at my mistakes. Donokov, of course, is German, and the others are all English-speaking countries. And oh, and Rodstvo, it's worse when I try it that way.
Yeah, I think we had that one okay.
Rodstvo. I continue saying Rodstvo.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The first actual letter was actually pretty good because they asked questions that I would have, and I actually got answers mostly. It says, dear Psi-Forcers, I really regret seeing Michael leave because he deserved to stay and maybe one of the others could have left. I have some questions I hope you'll answer. Will we ever learn why Psy-Hawk exists and who he is? Number two, will the team ever call themselves Psy-Force, use their code names, wear costumes? Three, will any of the members have relationships like Wayne and Kathy or Thomas and Stassi? So I hope Psy-Force continues for a long time until Kathy wears a shirt and pants that match. Make mine new universe. name and address withheld by request.
That's the most mysterious thing to me. What were you afraid of? Like the Marvel fans would know where you live. See, Wayne and Kathy, I still think, you know, I wasn't the only one shipping that couple, but okay, fine.
A little bit. So Psy-Hawk says, we will learn what the Psy-Hawk is in issue number 25. Okay, so that's finally when it comes back, I guess. As to who it is, that's simple. It's Emmett Proudhawk, sort of.
What? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you when. Oh, and the white event was the old man. Oh, okay.
Well, sort of.
Let's just wrap it up here.
Two was, will they ever be called Psy-Force? It says they won't call themselves Psy-Force, but others will. They won't use their code names, but others will. Code names are a Medusa Web requirement. They won't wear costumes. But we're toying with some pretty nifty jacket designs.
All right. They'll look like the Black Powers.
I was hoping that they wouldn't wear costumes. So that makes me feel a little bit better. And then for the romance angle, it says, we've got enough romance going on between Wayne and Lindsay, Thomas and Stassi, Andrew Chaser and his mirror to keep us all occupied. And then it's a little bit in the end, it is again kind of conflicting with what we know from the comic. It's like, oh, and about Kathy's clothes, does it make a difference? In issue 19, Potiphar used real bullets, as in to imply, like, it doesn't matter what she's wearing because she's dead, but we already know she isn't.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Don't know. Let's see. So the next letter is encouraging people. He's kind of picked up the series recently, and the response is that the new universe titles are getting more and more interesting and worthy of attention. Sales have been going up steadily, so many of you seem to agree. So we looked a little at sales figures as far as we can find them nowadays. For the time, it does seem like they had been going up for a while there, but it's also kind of up and down in this time period. So they also are answering a question about how many paranormals there are. That since we estimate that two persons in every million were affected by the white event and an undetermined number by the black event, this guy had guessed like 1 in 10 million, but
yeah. Is that first confirmation that the pit causes paranormals, as in like pit bull?
I guess. I mean, that's like I said, it's a little different, but I wasn't sure if like 2 in a million was including the pit event or not. So if it's 2 in a million for the white event alone, and then there's maybe, you know, an undetermined number for this subsequent thing. Right. We could have more than we're expecting. And it doesn't specify that this is different, worse, better, but yeah, we're starting to see some that maybe the black event caused worse things. I don't know.
Yeah, that was my guess, that it made like twisted paranormals kind of thing.
Yeah, we got Pitbull. And I was thinking back, because that Star Brand takes place at the same time as this, so that had like a weird wolf and a weird plant that was attacking Noon. So I don't know if it's like just right next to the pit
paranormal shrubbery.
But yeah, there's something going on that they're just sort of starting to reveal.
You missed, I thought it was sort of at least relevant today, that same letter writer says, Jessup sounds a lot like Captain Marvel of the Avengers. But I'm glad you're playing his powers realistically. Because, I mean, as of the recording of this, the movie is in the theaters, right? Like the Marvels. I'm assuming they mean the Captain Marvel, the, what's the character's name?
Like Monica Rambeau.
There you go. Yeah.
Captain
she has light
Photon or something.
Powers, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's very close to what we're seeing with Tyrone's power set now, the second generation version.
Because the other Captain Marvel is more like vague, punchy kind of powers. Super strength kind of thing. And in the end, that was kind of like their last, in a reply to someone again, kind of about Tyrone. In his astral form, and he's like, as far as the new writer is concerned, it's not an astral form and never was. Beyond the valid points he raised, if Ty could see and be seen and be heard, then he wasn't a telepathic or mental manifestation. He was a mental manipulation of the energy wavelengths required for such processes. Sure, he's not Captain Marvel in that his range is far smaller and far less controlled. He's not Doctor Strange. He's a young man discovering he controls specific wavelengths along the electromagnetic spectrum. So he could be like a cancer machine, right? Like it's like, you know, a little UV, a little X-ray, a little gamma.
Yeah.
That would be like a different, more a darker universe than this, I think. And it's like, and hey, as it turns out, everyone you hung out with in your projected form now has terminal cancer. Nice going, Tyrone.
Yeah, that's I'd largely forgotten the Captain Marvel of that time because, yeah, as you say, I forget, the Brie Larson one is more like what the Captain Marvel that Rogue like took her powers.
Yeah.
Then she became binary. I forget how Monica Rambeau gets like her, those electromagnetic wave powers, but yeah. She has taken the title of Captain Marvel and joined the Avengers in the early 80s. And yeah, as I recall, she was pretty powerful. Yeah. She was always getting,
She could like zip around from planet to planet kind of thing, like speed of light stuff. Yeah. I think I have some of those Avengers comics, but the one where she's introduced is expensive, so I never read it.
Yeah, understandable. And then I don't know, we've got new universe news, but we'll have time for that for the rest of the month, so we'll get back to you with that later.
We never really discussed the issue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ranked it. You know, I didn't want to interrupt you. We're kind of on a roll there.
It's doing so good trying to avoid my thing. This was a real interesting issue. Honestly, I was a little surprised that Travis made it through in one piece.
Yeah.
The action was relentless. And it kind of reminded me of, I want to say Die Hard, in that sense of like, in Die Hard, the guy, you know, has his shoes off when things go crazy, and he's always sort of looks more vulnerable. And so like here, Wayne is getting dressed and he's always running around in the bathrobe while this robot is fighting him and then holding him upside down for half the day. All that sort of worked out pretty well. Coming to really love Thunderhead. I'm hoping more of him shows up. I don't know why.
I think you might be out of luck on that front.
Well, we also lose Backfire, who is
not as interesting.
Great.
So I guess we're also taking Lindsay along, who is also not that interesting of a character, in my opinion. But
yeah, Lindsay really has taken a liking to Wayne, and we get the feeling from this that he is not made a move yet, which okay, interesting. The info about like it did kind of make sense that like Wayne couldn't just turn the guy off. And they give you a couple of explanations. Maybe this cybernetic link is the issue, Maybe, yeah, literally having two personalities will also, okay.
Well, once they broke him out of the suit, then he was able to order him around like anybody
Yeah, I do like the idea of like you control one of my personalities, but the other one is going to whatever still fight you. I don't know. We keep like expecting them to do something cool with that whole idea, then they never did. So they didn't have a lot of time, admittedly. But it's like, this guy is so crazy. He's crazy. He's got two personalities. How dangerous does that make him? I don't know. I just sounds cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's okay. I think generally I liked it a lot. Just in its sort of relentless energy. And I don't know. I'm almost feeling, I don't know, B plus, A minus. I'll be super generous with an A minus this time. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking A minus as well. Like the only thing that I didn't really like was how they turned the suit into, and maybe it was there before in some of the previous issues of actual Codename Spitfire, but those really weren't my favorite. But it's just like the thing's a little too powerful, like with the whole scanning, can find anybody, voice imprints, you know, structural integrity, like that's a little much for 1988.
Suit
was supposed to be kind of like that was the big achievement, but I was hoping it wouldn't turn into like, you know, like Iron Man talking to the suit all the time, you know, giving him all the reports and all that kind of stuff. And like I liked it as a bigger, clunkier thing that was a little more grounded, you know, had some downsides, but
yeah, true. It's a we wanted to see the suit used for super heroics, and by the time we finally get it into action, it's now being a super villain. So
right, is this the end of the Max armor though? Too like that's a possibility that like,
it's quite possible. Yeah, we may. I mean, it was also a bit much that like Tyrone could just like turn it on and off like a light switch. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, mumble, it's got its own electromagnetic field. Oh no, you know, I can't. I don't know. But yeah. Jenny, I think, is on to other things with DP7. And so I don't know if we'll see more Max armors out there. It would certainly be like, I mean, if you're going to the government wants to field a army of paranormals, they could easily field a group of Max armors.
Yeah, like, right. Is it that hard to make or expensive if you've already created one kind of thing? Like,
I mean, and it, yeah, they would have, they are comparable to the paranormals. So yeah, you would have like, you know, good balance of power. I don't know.
Yeah. It would feel very G.I. Joe too, almost to a degree. Like the Russians had a suit too. So like they could have like the mass produced, the older version kind of thing. And at first they're kind of threatening and dangerous. And then later on, you know, the paranormals can destroy them like they're nothing. It's like no big deal.
Yeah. You can imagine a constant sort of one-upsmanship of trying to improve these things. And yeah, the Russians did have that in whatever issue it was, Codename Spitfire, that where they're in Afghanistan. So yeah. Mark One or whatever it was. So I don't know. Can you imagine Kratzy Industries and the club producing these things as part of the military industrial complex? I can very easily imagine that. Yeah,
so. Very much so. Yeah, I'm still waiting. Like I'm super. I've been super happy in Cyforce to have and DP7 to have, you know, Jenny Swenson and some of these characters and armors show up kind of thing. And I'm happy that Night Mask is coming back as well, but it's just making me sweat thinking that, you know, where's my football team, right? Like, you know, this Max Armor was, you know, threatening them in the woods, and you know, it's getting close to defeating the Medusa web, and then a football shaped car rolls up and the kickers jump out, and it's like, like, you kids could need some help. Get in formation,
let's roll. Let's
tackle this problem.
We're gonna do some Canadian football now.
What?
Strange punting rules, and like
Jake gets a big football in the face.
Right. Or they could call in their backup squad, those like hockey player goons to kind of
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Edmonton or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We've got the big crossover graphic novel coming up soon. And at least Nightmask is in that, we know.
Yep. He's been teased.
Jenny's around, and Mark Hazard is, of course, who knows. I think we saw Lynn Griffin getting killed by Rodstvo an issue or two ago. I never see him again. Oh well, if Lindsay picks up some of the Max Armor and becomes like Strong Arms or Fastball or whatever,
right?
I will never stop smiling again. So we'll see.
One strong arm and one fast leg. She can hop really fast and arm wrestle.
That was kind of the thing with the $6 million man was like, yeah, but he's only got one arm. And if it's not attached to anything, how would he lift a car without crushing his own spine? Even as kids, we were like, I don't know about this.
So many questions.
Well, that is it for this week's episode. Next time in the new universe, we check in on our paranormal killer / absentee father, Justice number 21.
That sounds like the comic book is the paranormal and absentee father. Jailed in a federal prison. I'm getting tired of everybody being captured by the feds. Justice begins to lose his grip on reality. Will the hallucinations he suffers from turn him into the ultimate killing machine? Like, he already was the ultimate killing machine.
But the Max Armor was the ultimate killing machine.
Written by Peter David, penciled by Lee Week. So that'll be next episode.
Well, until then, you can always find us at our website, kickersinc.com, or email us with your own guesses of what the ultimate killing machine is at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your ultimate killing machine, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.